The MadTech podcast special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to today's MadTech podcast special. I'm your host today, Amy Nuortarine. I'm an editor at ExchangeWire. Today's topic is sustainability, and we're being joined by Stephanie Dixon, founder and editor-in-chief at Green is the New Black Asia. How are you today, Stephanie?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. Okay, let's jump into the questions. So Stephanie, what is the best way for companies that haven't yet got to grips with measuring their environmental impact yet to begin doing so?
Yeah, so I think for companies new to measuring their environmental impact, the first step is often the most critical, which is starting to really understand their operations and identifying some of the key areas of impact. Because at the end of the day, you can't change what you don't track and measure. So this can involve, you know, conducting an initial audit to kind of pinpoint where are the resources that are being consumed or potentially even wasted. Once these areas are kind of identified, then companies can start to implement tracking systems and set things like measurable goals to reduce their environmental footprint. And yeah, I think collaborating with sustainability or like experts or leveraging available tools and frameworks can also really start to streamline that process and ensure accurate measurement, because it really depends on the size of the company. I think there are a lot of tools that are already available that you can do sort of self-assessments on. And then the bigger the company, the more, I guess, support you'd probably need from external consultants or your internal, or maybe even thinking about hiring sustainability team or ESG experts for internally as well.
Yeah, that's some good insights. I agree, your place to start. So in a society that's becoming increasingly conscious of sustainability like ours, how can brands ensure that they don't greenwash?
Yeah, it's such a massive topic right now. So I'm really glad that you brought it up, because I think really the antidote to greenwashing is knowledge. And the best ways for company to avoid greenwashing is to really focus on what they have already done. So it's really about showing and communicating the past, a little bit less focus on the future. I think what we see a lot of the time now is companies coming out with their big goals, with their pledges. And while that is good, it is part of the journey. What's more important, and especially to avoid greenwashing, is to actually just share what you've done and focus on celebrating that, especially in the comm side of things. So yeah, I think brands can really prioritize transparency and authenticity in their sustainability efforts. And I think this is really providing that clear and verifiable information about their environmental practices. So wherever possible, that should be backed by credible data and third-party certifications. And yeah, just really avoid making exaggerating or misleading claims about sustainability initiatives. And instead, yeah, just really focusing on these meaningful changes across the entire value chain, from sourcing, production, distribution, disposal, and communicate those honestly to consumers. Because at the end of the day, people are smart. You know, consumers, you can't just pull the blanket over the eyes. And so I think, yeah, when we can really focus on what's already happening, what's actually in progress, I think is also good. And then yes, eventually you can focus on, you know, where you're heading. But I think that those first two sections of what we've done, what we're in progress on, those should be the things that companies can focus on, because that's what's actually being actioned now or has already been actioned versus what may happen in the future, because stuff changes, things get difficult. We never know what's going to happen in the world. And so that's where I think it gets quite murky.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point of focusing on the past instead of the future. Definitely, because I think a lot of brands are greenwashing at the moment. And I think a lot of people can tell, like you said, so it doesn't really do them any favors. They're obviously trying to do it to, you know, get the public to like their brand. But in the end, it just works against their favor there.
Yeah. And I think this is unfortunately also what we're seeing, is that some brands are now actually getting a little bit scared or worried about what they should or shouldn't be saying. And so it's becoming a little bit delicate and quite painful, I think, for a lot of companies. So I think just kind of focusing on the clarity of, you know, what can actually be shared and being honest to consumers, I think is the best way forward, and taking them on for the journey. I mean, at the end of the day, if you have loyal customers or you want to start building more loyal customers who care about these issues, bringing them on for that journey and being like, hey, look, we're not perfect and we're not pretending to be, but these are the things that we're actively doing. This is what we've already done, and this is where we hope to get to. And yeah, we're going to keep you posted along the way. And I think that just removes any ambiguity, any sort of like feeling from the consumer side that, oh, I'm being taken along for a ride or I'm really confused here. So I think just having that open dialogue and bringing our customers and consumers and stakeholders along for the journey is really the best way forward.
Yeah, that open dialogue is so important. People would definitely like to see authenticity. So I agree completely. Yeah. And so what are some ways that brands can embrace sustainability as a long-term commitment?
Well, I think what what most people have understood by now is this is not a trend. It is a fundamental shift in how businesses need to operate. And I think brands that are embracing sustainability by really integrating this into their core values and business strategies are the ones that are going to come out on top. And this really involves, yes, setting ambitious yet sustainable and achievable goals, really investing in the innovation and technology piece to figure out how to reduce environmental impact, but then also really fostering a sense and culture of sustainability throughout the organization. If this starts getting weaved in the DNA and part of every team's responsibility, then it's going to be something that is really activated and can be from an inside out, collaboration. And so I think, further than just activating the internal stakeholders, we have to also look at suppliers, customers, and the community. All of this needs to play a part. And I think the more active that this conversation is front and foremost and then activated, then the better it can be in for that long-term sustainability, really.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned the supplies and everything, because I think it's so important that companies also, think about working with partners who are sustainable also, instead of just, focusing as well, obviously focusing on themselves being sustainable is the most important part, but, in collaboration with other companies as well who are doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are seeing that a little bit more as well. I would say that there's a lot more knowledge sharing within industries. And I think that's really encouraging and exciting to see that people aren't gatekeeping and that they're very willing to have conversations with their competitors or with other players in their industry to share that best practice. And I think we'll probably hopefully see more and more of that.
Yeah. What do you think are some of the best ways to do that kind of sharing the knowledge among, different people in the industries and different parties?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different ways. Like there's a lot of round tables and a lot of sort of grassroots and also government or media led opportunities for these different stakeholders to get together and really start that sharing. There's a lot of different associations. And I think if those don't exist, then that's a perfect opportunity for someone to actually start them. So I think a lot of companies might be surprised if they're quite new to this, like what already exists. And if they can't find what exists, then it's a great opportunity to start it for your industry and to sort of be the people who are leading the charge. Because I've seen it many, many times over that those that lead in this and really, live and breathe it, then again, they're sort of at the forefront of all of this. And there's a lot of benefits that come along with that.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. And in terms of sustainability, what changes, if there are any, do you predict to see from brands in the near future?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that I see is that the more companies weave this into their DNA, the further they're actually future-proofing themselves, because, it's not just a nice to have anymore. It is a must have. It makes business sense. And what we're seeing, and we're already starting to see it, I mean, I'm based in Singapore right now, so there is the government regulation coming in hard and fast on this in the coming years. So for example, in Singapore, as of next year, all publicly listed companies have to report on sustainability and climate related information, and non-listed large companies will be following in 2027. So this is really an example of the Singapore government's efforts to actually help company to strengthen these capabilities and sustainability and to ride through that green transition. And there are lots of other governments around the world who are doing that too. So this is now becoming something that they have to report on, but it really does make business sense. When you actually look at the stats and you look at the companies that have prioritized ESG, they way outweigh other companies. And because this is something that is now coming from a regulatory perspective as well, it means that it's going to have to be done, and it's going to trickle down to the SME level and then also, eventually to like startups and entrepreneur level as well. And so, I think that's on the doorstep. And so again, the more that companies can figure this out now, the easier it is going to be down the line and the more better position that they're going to be in when those regulations come in at different levels. So I think that's sort of, some of the main things. And then, as they're doing this, they're going to be saving eventually on waste minimization and things like, you know, when they invest in renewable energy or sustainable materials, like this will save in the long run. And implementing sort of regenerative practices that restore ecosystems and biodiversity, all of this is, yeah, along that pathway and has so much good benefit, like not only for them, but also the external ecosystems that they are impacting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great that the government in Singapore is, you know, really being strict on these measures, really. Do you think it will be difficult for companies to adapt to these new circumstances at first?
Well, I think the good thing about Singapore is they give plenty of warning. So, you know, they started with the carbon tax. It started off at $5 a ton, I think it was. And then it's now increased to, I think, about $25 a ton. So these things happen over time. They're gradual and they do give a lot of runway, I would say. And so I do think that companies have the opportunity and they give the resources where they can to help with that transition, whether it's happening fast enough. Some people say it's not. Others say this is great. You know, there's like always the two sides of the debate. But I do think, yeah, that companies are getting enough time. And now it's just about actually implementing that and actioning it and making sure that they're, you know, ahead of things, because otherwise, yeah, it could be quite daunting and quite exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely we're just going to see an increasing number of brands making an effort to be more sustainable. So we've already seen so much change in the past few years. And yeah, it's just becoming a much bigger priority for us because, I mean, the issue is obviously becoming much more urgent with climate change. But also, like you say, it can actually be, you know, cost effective for businesses. So I think, you know, once they obviously they're seeing that. So that's definitely taking us in the right direction, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Earth Day 2024 just took place yesterday on the 22nd of April. Is there anything which particularly stood out about this year's for you?
Yeah, I thought it was actually quite interesting because there was a lot of commentary that I saw. Maybe it's probably just my algorithms, but on the ironies of Earth Day. And I think this is something that can be said to a lot of these sort of global days that we celebrate, where it kind of started as a grassroots movement to bring awareness to a certain issue. And then it becomes a bit of a marketing tool for profit driven entities. And so, you know, people and companies will say things like, oh, Earth Day is every day, or every day is Earth Day, and then kind of go back to business as usual the next day. And I think that's been called out a little bit more this year. You know, influencers, for example, who normally post a lot of fast fashion hauls are taking a break to post a selfie with a tree. And so I think, yeah, what we really need to focus on is sort of sustained and systemic action. But a lot of what we can see around Earth Day and these types of things can be a little bit performative. So, of course, I appreciate, you know, the commentary while I appreciate that commentary while also being able to kind of celebrate the positivity around it. And it's great that more and more people are joining the movement and sharing. But I think it would be great to kind of focus the conversation around more things that are actually actionable and really focus on the climate action. And the other thing that I'm really happy to see is we've kind of moved away from the doom and gloom side of things. And people are really focusing on climate optimism, on having a much more positive outlook about celebrating solutions and all the entrepreneurs and the people around the world who are using their time and intelligence to solve for the problems that we're facing as a planet. And so, yeah, I'm seeing more focus on things like the role of youth activism, the urgency in transitioning to a low carbon economy, and of course, yeah, the need for systemic change for a more sustainable future. So I feel like the commentary is interesting. Also, there's a lot of positivity, and I think that is what we really need to focus on, because otherwise it can just get really overwhelming and a lot of people just fall into eco-anxiety. So the more that we can remain hopeful and yet take practical action, I think that is the important piece.
Yeah, no, I agree. Definitely we need systemic change really to make a difference. I think that's why it's so great as well that the government in Singapore is being, you know, more strict with this. So yeah, it's great to see systemic change like that. Yeah, I read that because I think the theme for this year was planet as plastics, it said on the Earth Day website, and that they're demanding a 60% reduction in the production of all plastics by 2040. So hopefully we get that.
Yeah, let's hope. And let's take action. Yeah. That's all we'll get us there.
Okay, well, I think that's a good note to finish on. Thanks so much for joining me, Stephanie. It was great to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. That was today's MadTech podcast special.